locations here in the Rock. We're going through a vision series, which is site-specific. So for us in Provo, this is our series for what we're hoping for and asking God to help us with for 2015 and really beyond as well. So if you're new here this morning, I just want to say welcome. We love guests. We always welcome new guests, and we're thankful that you're here. This particular series is its core specific. It's for the core of the church, the people who consider this their church. Now, certainly, these are truths from the Bible that you can glean from and grow in for sure. So we welcome you to do that. And we invite you, if you're looking for a church home, we invite you to come and talk to us. Check out our church. Ask us questions about it. We would love to have you come and be a part of it. You know, we don't really have a membership, if you will, here at The Rock. I don't know if that's good or bad, but it seems like if you've been around for a while, we consider you one of our family. It's kind of how that works. Maybe one day we'll make that a little more formal as we get larger, but for now, that's kind of how we look at that. And today, in today's section, just want you to know that this kind of builds on what Brent shared last week. So if you weren't able to make it last week, be sure and go online. All of our messages are available on our website. You can, and many of them, most of them these days, are videotaped. So it's actually a video that you can watch. And we have the Rock Church app. We have an app. We have all that stuff, all that technical stuff. So so you don't need to miss out whatsoever. Again, today's message is part four of our vision series, and we'll do one more. Next week, we'll have one more part to this, and we're going to get back to the Gospel of John. We've been going through the Bible, the Gospel of John. Our series is called Knowing Jesus, and we'll get right back, step right back into that after we finish up this vision series. Today is going to be Giving to God, part four of our Win, Build, Send series. Now, when we think of giving, I think where we need to start is God himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever would believe in him could have eternal life. God gave everything. He gave everything, all of himself, for you and for me. So we start with God, with that model. God gave everything. Everything. He didn't withhold anything for us. He knew that humanity had a sin problem, so he himself, as Jesus is God, he came to the earth to take care to address the sin problem that crept into humanity ever since the fall in the garden. And he was crucified on a cross, rose from the dead, and he lives. I think just to start with an explanation point, God gave. He didn't hold anything back from us. And that's our example. I like this quote from Randy Elkhorn. It says, when Jesus warns us not to store up treasures on earth, it's not just because wealth might be lost, it's because wealth will always be lost. Either it leaves us while we live, or we leave it when we die. No exceptions. Realizing its value is temporary should radically affect our investment strategy. According to Jesus, storing up earthly treasure isn't simply wrong, it's just plain stupid. I like this verse from Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And I think really this morning we talk about this, about giving. It's really a matter of the heart. I think it really is. It's a matter of the heart. And you come to a place, you know, I've raised kids and still in the process of raising kids, and I've had the privilege of being led by different people that have mentored me and discipled me, and I have the privilege of mentoring and discipling people, and there's always a time in our relationship where I know if I have someone's heart. My own children, when they would rebel and do stuff, yes, they did and still do at times. When they do that, at times it would be, you know what? I just want you to give me your heart, young one, because I know what's best for you. I want to help you. I want to help you through whatever you're going through. And I think really that's a position that we need to take before this holy God. God, I know I don't have everything figured out, and a lot of this stuff is challenging, and boy, the world we live in, it influences me and pulls me in so many directions, but as much as it is up to me, I just want to give you my heart, all of it. God, help me. We need his help. We need his grace in that, because really in and of ourselves, in the flesh, that's just not, we're just a bunch of selfish little kids. We just really are. And we've got to come to a place where, okay, God, you're leading me. Here's my heart. Here's my mind. Here's my money. Here's my all, my everything, my love, my affection. It all fits together. I got a little video here just to kind of highlight this idea of God. Remember, he owns 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hills. It's all his. God's the one that's created the universe. He's a star breather. He is God. He's the authority, and he's in his rightful place as king. So everything's his. And I think we need to remember that. Oh, wait a minute. This is all God's. This is temporary for me. I just get to be a steward for a little while until I'm with him. And at that point, we'll get it all once again. But look at this little video. This is kind of a little humor for you, too. So I know that's always good for us on a Sunday morning. So let's go ahead and play that video. It's a point I was just trying to make. I know we're a visual culture, so we like to watch things. But and I don't necessarily promote that movie, so don't get me wrong. The point I want to make is God has given us so much. You know, and each one of us are different places, you know. I know some of you are homeless, and I know some of you do really well. We're all at different places as far as even just monetary. But I think even today, I want you to understand this more in everything we have is God's. It's all his. It's like we've come along this bag of life. He's given you the air you breathe. So it's more than just monetary. Certainly today we're going to look at some basic biblical principles on the idea of giving, but it's giving of ourselves too. How we treat each other. We love one another. It's everything. God says you are a steward of this life, and it is going fast. Whether you think so or not, it is, whew. We'll be checking out soon. It is going fast. So we have this time. This is our time, once again, to live for the Lord. Keep our eyes on him. In Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5, I don't have this verse on the screen, but I read this the other day. Do not weary yourself to gain wealth. Cease from your consideration of it. When you set your eyes on it, it is gone. For wealth certainly makes itself wings like an eagle and flies towards the heavens. So true. We're going to look at four keys again of understanding, or four keys to trusting God in our giving. But first I'm going to pray one more time. I'd ask you to pray with me. Let's ask God to help us. Lord, I love you. I just pray to you, God, King of the universe. Jesus, I love you. I pray you'd help us, Lord, to understand your truths. Today, each and every one of us are and really in different places in our walk. God, you know that. So I ask for today, Lord, that you just really help us. Be with us and open our minds, Lord, and our hearts to what you have for us. And as much as it is up to us, Lord, I just pray you'd help us give you our heart, to give you our all, God. We love you and we need you. And I pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen. So just four keys in trusting God in our giving. And the first one here is understand why I should give. I want to just look at seven quick points in understanding why I should give. And I just got a verse with each one, so we'll just dig in and look at that. Understand why I should give. It's the right thing to do. It's just the first point I want to make. It's the right thing to do. Remember, it's all God's in the first place. Like this verse from Malachi, it reminds me of that little video, really. Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you in your tithes and contributions? This is an Old Testament verse there talking about the tithe and how we as humans tend to rob God. We do. We get selfish. Everything he's given in us, and oftentimes we just kind of try to keep it in our own kingdom, and he has so many things he wants us to be involved in. Don't want to miss that. Why? Second thing, it supports ongoing ministry in evangelism, teaching, pastoring, caring for the poor, missions. All the benefits of being a family of God, of having a church, our giving and our participation in that, it supports God's idea of the vehicle of the church, something I talked about a couple weeks ago. That vehicle that God's given us, that's what our giving supports. Not all of it, but some of it. As I go further on here, I'm going to just kind of break it down for you, kind of what that giving looks like, and even in the church monetarily, how that money is used. I like this quote from P.T. Barnum. It says, money is a terrible master, but an excellent servant. So we have this money, this monetary, also our lives, the other things that we have, our minds, our bodies, the things that God involves us in. It's all his, and really, the more I learn and grow and come to know the Lord, I think it's all for the gospel. Everything is for the gospel. God wants us to be involved in the gospel in one way or another. Certainly, we're all different parts of the body, and we fit in different ways, and God makes that clear in his word. But ultimately, it's so that more would come to know him and be a part of God's family. It gives God glory. Let's read this verse together from 1 Corinthians 9:13. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. Here's Apostle Paul is describing what your money does, how it gives God glory. And the next one is it acknowledges God as provider. I'm just going to go through these quickly because I kind of want to break things down toward the end here. A little more nuts and bolts. It acknowledges God as provider. Let's read this verse together. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. He richly provides us with everything to enjoy. God has given us everything we need. He gives us 24 hours a day. That's not going to change. I could if God chose to, but we have that same amount of time. Sometimes when we don't budget or take care of our time, it slips away from us, and it feels like there's not as much time in a day. But you know what? There's going to be 24 hours tomorrow. It acknowledges God's provider, that all of it's his. And I think we need to recognize that position that we hold. We're stewards of God's stuff. I went to Starbucks up in Draper and met someone for coffee a few weeks back. And I met him there, and I'm still kind of old-fashioned. I had a checkbook with me. I know not all of you know what that is, but I had my checkbook with me. And it's this little paper thing. It's like a promise note you write on there. But I had it with me, and I went and I met someone at coffee, and we must have had a vigorous conversation because somehow I dropped it. I lost my checkbook at Starbucks, and I drove back to Provo. I was up in Draper, and I realized I don't have my checkbook. You know, it's not like I have a whole lot of money, so somebody's really going to benefit from that. But I thought, you know, that kind of freaks you out. What am I going to do? So I called the Starbucks store after being on hold forever. I did finally get to the manager at that store. And I called him. I says, you know, it's kind of an unusual request. I was in there having coffee and dropped my checkbook. Did you happen to find a checkbook? Is your name Steve McEnroy? Sure is. Yes, we did find your checkbook. I said, oh, that's great. I'm down here in Provo. I'm not sure when I'll be making it back up to Draper, but can you help me out and just hold on to that? And she says, you know what? Right now in the back here, we're having a manager's meeting. And all the managers are here, and the manager of the Orem stores sitting right here is a good friend of mine. And I could put that checkbook in their hand, and they could bring it down and have it for you on Tuesday. And this is a couple days, you know, that was a few days that would be. And I thought, okay, that sounds good to me. So sure enough, a few days when that manager came back to work, I went in there and I met her, and she had my checkbook, and, you know, I wanted to hug her. It's like, oh, thank you. Thank you. But the thing is, not that I have a lot of money, but, you know, somebody could have just taken the checkbook and did whatever they want with it. Basically, that's what God says. He gives us the checkbook, the debit card, the app for our money. He just says, there you go. You might say, well, I don't have any money, so that doesn't really apply to me. Well, it's more than just monetary. Everything that God has, he it's his. And for our time here, he wants us to be good stewards. He wants us to learn. It's really a test of the heart. The good Father wants our heart. He wants us to understand that the things that he gives us, that's really a test of how we can grow and get better at following him, at giving him our heart, of being obedient to him, of trusting him, and learning from him. It acknowledges God as provider, and it really robs money of its power when we give it away. It does, because greed can creep in as we give it away. It doesn't get that chance to do that. Look at, it's written in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. I like what John Wesley had to say. When I have money, I get rid of it as quickly as possible, lest it find a way into my heart. And I think we can agree with that. I certainly can. Next point is it cultivates contentment. It really does. As we learn to give and have a heart that's fully committed to the Lord, and we learn to give and help people, it helps us. God helps us in contentment. Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9 say, remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of the Lord. Basically, in Proverbs, he's saying, just give me my portion, Lord, whatever that might be. Not too much, not too little. Help me with that, Lord. Help me to know what that is. And that's a good prayer for you and I to pray. God, help me to know what's too much and what's not enough and what this all looks like in your economy, God. What makes sense? This is all yours. I want to be a good steward of your stuff. Help me with that, Lord. And as we do that, there is just a real peace of, you know, it's security. When God has your heart and you know that and God knows that and you know that's where I've stepped into, God fully has my, there's a contentment, there's a peace that comes over you. That's good. That there's a security that's like a warm hug, and it's just a, okay, man, I trust you, God, time and time again. You come through. And he even says in the Bible, test me in this area. It's an area that God wants us to learn and grow. It certainly affects every single person in this room. It affects me, affects you, all of us. Somehow we need to learn how to step in to our giving or not giving, what that looks like. Next point, it advances God's kingdom, again, for the gospel. God wants us to be a part of what he's doing. He doesn't want us to be on the sidelines. He wants us to be a part of what's going on. That's his purpose for our lives. We certainly don't want to miss out on that. It says in Luke 16, verse 9, and I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings. Let's go on. We'll go right all the way through 12. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches. And finally, verse 12, and if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? God says, if you can be faithful in a little, what God gives us, that testing, that heart issue, more and more. I mean, it's up to him who is rich and who is not, or as far as monetarily. It's up to him what that looks like. So he's certainly the one we need to get our directive from. But we need to use our money to win souls. And that looks different ways. You know, I'm certainly not a perfect example, but I'll just use my own life as an example. There are a lot of people that eat at my house, and it's just a privilege for me, one way or another, to have cars parked out in front of my house and being sharing a meal with someone. And for years and years, that's just something that I've tried to do. And there's different missions that I've been able to be a part of, that I've been able to give and be a part of. I'm blessed to be at a place where I can support some missionaries that live in different parts of the world. When I manage that, I can support them because they fully depend on support from someone else to keep them in the mission field. See, there's just lots of different things. Have you ever lent your car to someone? Have you ever lent tools or something? I'm always asking Lee Evenson for tools. And, you know, he's my brother. He's, sure, you can use this. There's just so many different things. You know, oftentimes what a person really needs is just a kind word. A word aptly spoken, a word unselfishly. You get our eyes off of ourselves and just say, are you okay? Hi, is there anything I can do for you? Because we get this thing, oh, it's a certain amount of money, and I'm going to talk about the tithe and what that looks like. But this morning, can I just say it's more than that? It's our very lives. We're called to love one another. And being a good steward of what God's placed us in, no matter where you are. I know a lot of people come here, they're homeless, and I welcome you here. I'm thankful that you're here. You're a part of this body. There's still a role that you had to play too. And those of you that have, you know, healthy paychecks, praise God, I'm thankful for that. You know, I'm not the one that counts the money. I don't even know really what you give. I see the big picture because I'm part of leadership. But it's really not up to me to come up and say, hey, boy, Bob, that's pretty sad. No, God knows it all. God knows. It's like those guys in that crashed airplane. They're like, nobody knows. God knows. He knows. And he wants better for us than sometimes I think what we get involved in. But all of our ideas and the things that he gives us are really at the core, it's for God. It's for the gospel. It's so that more people would come to know him. So this would multiply and multiply and multiply for our entire lives. So I'm thankful that we can be a part of it. The second point is understand where I should give. I'm trying to get going a little quicker here. I got a number of things. Okay, where I should give. In the tithes and offering, there's that word tithes again. Don't let that freak you out. In the tithes and offerings, this is a biblical concept. It isn't something the traditional American church came up with. It's a biblical concept. We can look back in the Old Testament. We can look back before the law was given, before Leviticus. And we can look at the New Testament in references to the tithe. And it fits into the gospel. So the tithes, they should go to your local church. They really go to the local church. That's where your tithe would go. Now, if you're part of another church, your tithe should go to that church. That's where the tithe. And what the tithe's used, it's used to pay the pastors. It's used to pay the heating bills. It's used to pay the building. It's used to pay the mission things, the different things that our church is involved in. And actually, the Rock Churches here in Utah, we tithe, a part of the tithe goes to our region. And our region uses that money for the gospel. There's different missions in Europe and Latin America, in Asia, and there's things right here in the United States. They're involved in lots of college ministry. Lots of our money is helping the needy. We partner with different groups like Pregnancy Resource and different things. But the tithe that I'm going to talk a little bit more about, that's where that would go. The tithes go to the local church. Now, Paul references in Corinth to the people he's talking to in 1 Corinthians. We're going to touch on this a little bit. He references just saying the Old Testament is a good example for us to live in New Testament times. He's saying this pattern from the Old Testament, we can use that in the New Testament as well. And he's explaining that to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 9, actually 11 through 14. Let me just read that with you. If we have sown spiritual things among you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? If others share this rightful claim on you, do not we even more? Nevertheless, we have not made use of this right, but we endure anything rather than put an obstacle in the way of the gospel of Christ. Verse 13. Do you not know that those who are employed in the temple service get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in a sacrificial offering? See, referring to the Old Testament. In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. Oops, one too far. Verse 14. You know, there's Paul referring to the Old Testament, and that... That's a good pattern for the New Testament as well. So I'm on staff. I get paid by the church, and it's the tithes and offerings of the church that my salary comes out, and the other eight pastors as well, plus the buildings. We have a number of different buildings that God uses, and the money that's given, that's how it supports the church, this vehicle, this family that you are a part of. That's where the tithe goes. Now, even in the Old Testament, for sake of time, I'm going to skip one verse here because I'm getting a little behind here. There's so much good stuff as I was preparing for this. So the tithe would go to the local church. Again, that's a portion. That's you, between you and the Lord, what that would be. And I'm going to talk about that a little more in depth here in a minute. But then gifts and offerings would be everything else. So there's a tithe, something you've determined. You sought the Lord, you sought him out, you prayed, you asked him, what would your tithe look like? How much would that be? And between you and the Lord, ultimately, you make a commitment and you make that tithe. Now, ultimately, it should be all, everything. Really, it's all God's in the first place. But God helps you to determine that tithe, and that goes to the local church. And then gifts and offerings, that would be above and beyond that. So for me, that's my first piece is, okay, I do make the tithe. And then I have the privilege and just the honor of going beyond that in gifts and offerings. Now, me being involved in the building project of the Draper Building, now, I decided, my wife and I, we prayed, and we made a commitment to the Draper Building Project. So we built a new building in Draper. And we made a commitment, Jeannie and I, we made a 3-year commitment. So we give so much money every month to that building project. The building's full of people right now. God is using it. It is for the gospel. But my participation in that was a gift and offering. That was above and beyond my tithe. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying this is the way I understand it. And those gift and offerings as well, filling the baby bottles or the different things you might do, even TRM, buying the CDs, all of that is just gift and offerings, or helping the needy. The different things you might do in your life, have people in your home that are, you maybe normally you wouldn't, but because you're trying to build relationship with them, you have them over for dinner. All of those things, they go above and beyond, and that would be considered the gifts and offerings. That's the way I understand it. That's the way I think the Bible shows us with the tithe, and that's my personal conviction, and the leaders of this church, that's our conviction. We agree on that. So all of us are part of that. We're part of that. As different leaders come and get raised up, we are a part of that. We agree in that. And it's just freeing for me. It's a joy to be able to be a part of that, without a doubt. Philippians 4:18 says, I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to the Lord. There again, Paul just commending the saints for giving. Okay, nuts and bolts. Understanding how and how much I should give. Let's start with how. Okay, I would say carefully. Get a plan. You know, again, I want to remind you again, if you didn't hear Brent's message last week, I would encourage you to listen to it. And I would also encourage you that in our church, we're blessed with some people that are pretty good with finances. So if you need help, you ask around and we'll go the extra step to try to help. Someone can help you get a budget. Someone could help you with that. Because sometimes it's just like, I don't know where to go and I'm embarrassed to ask. And sometimes it's just a matter of asking. There's help available. And God's blessed us in our family of believers here so that there's people that could help you. Understand how and how much I should give? We'll break this down a little bit. like Brent said, you need to get a budget. You need to have a plan. You need to consider. And maybe if you've never even been involved in a church or the tithe or you're just learning this concept, there's going to be a learning curve. You need to plan, have a plan, kill your debt. Like Brent shared last week, get that debt out of there. Don't be just giving money away. Concentrate on that debt. Now, God gave me an analogy, and this is a Mac analogy. Sometimes he gives me these crazy analogies, but it really resonated with me. So maybe it will with you. This idea of the tithe, and maybe your finances are just upside down, and this is really irritating you this morning. And this might be for you. Maybe this analogy will help you a little bit. because ultimately, as we look at the stats, you know, churches worldwide just struggle in giving. We could do so much if everybody gave their hearts to God. But, okay, here's the analogy. If you've ever been sick, like if you had the flu or something, or maybe you have a sensitive stomach. I do. I had surgery on my colon, so I have a sensitive stomach. So maybe if you've had the flu before and to a place where, you know, Montezuma's revenge and you had diarrhea. Don't let me gross you out here. This analogy just struck home with me. But what happens is I remember being at a pastor's conference once and, man, I was in a bad way. And I wanted to be there, and I was with all these other people, and I wanted to participate, but I couldn't, if you know what I mean, because I was sick, and I couldn't get very far from my hotel room. So I didn't want to get too far from the restroom. So that's kind of the situation when you got the flu, and you got diarrhea, and it's just like, I hate life, I hate the world. But the best thing for you to get better is you need to get to a place where you can introduce foods, because you need that strength. But yet you're terrified. It's like, I don't want to eat anything. No. I will just starve myself and somehow I'll get better. But the thing is, you know, when we were little kids, we had the little acronym BRAT, BRAT diet, where our kids would give them bananas, rice, applesauce, and toast. And that would, eventually there had to be a turning where if you're going to get better, you need to start eating this toast. You need fuel back in your body. You need to take the time. Or lately I've discovered plain yogurt's really good to bring you out of that too. But there comes a time when you start to, you have to turn that corner. You have to start, and I don't know, for me I thought, well, that's kind of a cool, it's an analogy that made sense to me. Because it seems to be that we're so terrified of the tithe, of the responsibility of being God's family, that it's like, oh, no way. I can't tithe. I can't even pay my rent. Well, really, the best thing for you in God's economy is start giving him your heart. Start listening to him. Start following him a little bit. And my little acronym is TGF. tithes, gifts, and offerings. Maybe you're at the place where, no, I'm not going to do that. I cannot do that because I know it'll just go where it always does. It's hard. It's difficult. And I can't make ends meet with what I have. Well, get a budget. Kill your debt. God has given you more than enough. This world we live in is just abundant. There's a bounty that he's placed us in as stewards. So God, help us get our act together so we can start reintroducing the tithes, gifts, and offerings. Because you know what? It is freeing for your soul. I'm so thankful that God's helped me understand this just fundamental walk of faith. For me personally, it's just freeing. I don't grapple with if I am or not. And I just want to get to where I can give more. I'm not the best at money for sure. You can ask my wife about that. But we've gotten to a place where God's helped us, you know, get things, introducing things, tithes, gifts, and offerings. Those are good. Then everything else. And it's helped me in my walk of faith. And many of you, I think that's the medicine you need. Just start stepping towards the Lord so that he can help you in the bigger picture. And he will. He will. He's so kind. He wants to free us up from really poor financial stewardship. Because it is. It's like having diarrhea. And he doesn't want you to live that way. He has better for you. So there's my little Mac analogy. I know it's kind of out of this world, but hopefully you get it. God wants to help you in that area, and there's joy in that. It's a beautiful thing. It really is. Look at this verse from 1 Corinthians, verses 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. And Paul was just encouraging the saints to plan, to manage, to get ready once a week and have it ready for the collection. And for us, that's just good stewardship. We want to do the same thing and put God first. Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Now, I guess my question here would be, what does first mean? First. Put God first. That's the best way to budget. Put God first. He's asking for the first fruits, and that's just something that we need to get and understand. Man, it's quiet in here. I love that. Give cheerfully. God wants that for you. He wants better for you. He doesn't want you to be gripped and stressed. There's such a better way to live than that just stress and angst of, I mean, it's hard on our marriages. It's hard on our life. God has just so much better in mind for us. And this is just a freeing foundational truth. Give cheerfully. Look at what it says in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. There again, just connected right to our heart. God wants a cheerful giver. He wants us to just, you know what? Oh, thank you, Lord. This is all yours anyway. Thank you that I get to be a steward of it for just a little while. Thank you that you've given me enough. Not too much, not too little. You give me just the right amount. I praise you for that. It's freeing. So bountifully. You'll be glad you did. So bountifully. Like what Anne Frank had to say, no one has ever become poor by giving. Okay, so how much should I give? That's the question that might be going through your mind. How much is God worth? Ultimately, it's between you and God. It's all his We're like standing by the airplane with a bag of money. But it's between you and the God. But there are some concepts. Actually, in the Bible, the only percentage we see, the only reference we see is the tithe, is the 10%. Again, I think that God would have us go above and beyond that in our tithes and our gifts and offerings. I think it's much more than that. I think it's everything possible that we can give. At least for me, that's what I want. I want to get better at just helping people wherever I can. Yes, my family, my own family. It goes beyond that. You are my family, the family of Christ. And it goes beyond that. The needy, those that are hurting, brothers and sisters. Goes beyond that. But in the Bible, the only percentage mentioned is 10%. For me, it's like, well, I love that because 10% gives me a parameter so that my personal conviction is, okay, that's my tithe, 10. That's what I give is 10%. That's my tithe to the local church. And everything I give beyond that is a gift and offering. But it's just a joy for me to get my arms around that and put that in its rightful place. I love the title. It gives me parameters. And, you know, ultimately, I've got 90% for all those other things. And if I'm a good steward with that 90%, then I can give away 40% of that and live off 50%. Still have 50%. Praise you, God. Thank you. I think sometimes our concepts and our ideas just get flipped around. We have to remember, God is God. He's the King. He's the one who's over all of this. We need to be giving him our hearts. You know, in the Old Testament, we can look at certainly the 10% even before the law was given. In Genesis, go all the way back to Genesis in verses 28, verses 20 through 22. It said, then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and I will... And will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. He goes on to say, and this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give a full tenth to you. God says that a tenth belongs to him, confirmed by the law. Then we step into Leviticus. Every tithe of the land, whether the seed of the Lord or of the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. If a man wishes to redeem some of his tithe, he shall add a fifth to it. And every tithe of herds and flocks, every tenth animal of all that pass under the herdman's staff, shall be holy to the Lord. So it's affirmed by the law. And then here again is a verse where we see it affirmed by Jesus. In Luke chapter 11, verse 42, there's a confrontation between Jesus and the Pharisees. And he's really kind of going off on them and he's rebuking them. But look here, also I want to highlight that he commends them for tithing. He says, but woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe a mint and rue and every herb and neglect justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. So Jesus is referring, the tithe is good. You ought to do that. That's a good thing to do. But these other things, not so good. But he does. I think in the New Testament, Jesus himself, he says the tithe is a fine thing to do. And we see it affirmed by the Apostle Paul, going on from Jesus to the Apostle Paul. And he was teaching and planning churches, and he would teach the different churches, the different places that he planted churches. He wanted to help teach them this idea of how to support the family of God. So the Apostle Paul would do that. And he states again, the plan for supporting New Testament leaders is the same as Old Testament, which I referred to earlier. And Paul also commends the Macedonians for financially giving themselves fully to the Lord. Then to others by supporting Christians in Jerusalem. So we're going to look here at Corinthians. And in this section of verses, Paul is commending the Macedonians, these people that didn't have a whole lot. But they rallied together. The church in Jerusalem needed help. They were in trouble. They needed support. So these Macedonians, out of their poverty, they raised money so Paul could take it to the church in Jerusalem and help the church there. So it says, we want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. He's bragging on them. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. So Paul says, here's a good example. The Macedonians, they're giving out of their extreme poverty to help other saints. He's saying, that's what we need to do, church. That's what I'm trying to teach you. That's what Paul is trying to pass on to us. To be like the Macedonians. To give of ourselves, to give God our heart. And finally, I missed verse 5 there. And this, not as we expected, but we gave themselves first to the Lord, then by the will of God to us. Again, talking about the folks from Macedonia. Move on. Understand God's promise to those who give. So God does promise to take care of us. That's there. That never goes away. God will take care of us. I'm not talking name it, claim it. It's not like, well, if I give $10 and I can pull that the roulette wheel and it's going to spin and God's going to do these things. Now, God can do that, but there's a lot of ministries out there. It's name it, claim it. If you say God's going to give it to you, then you're going to get it. Well, I think we need to be careful with that. We need to make sure we're hearing from the Lord and seeking counsel, talking to other people. My point is, he's not a slot machine. That's not how God operates. But he is certainly gracious to us, isn't he? He's so good to us. His promise to take care of our needs, and he does, time and time again. The section of scripture I want to read now is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Again, the only verses I have on here are just the last two. So just listen to me, and I'll read this. And if you have a Bible, you could certainly read along. Chapter 6 of Matthew, verses 25 through 34. Some of my most favorite verses in the Bible. There's just a sense of security. Starting verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory has not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. In the last two verses, Matthew 6, 33, 34, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Do not be anxious about anything. Perhaps this morning, you're anxious about your finances. God can and will help you with that. You can count on him. But that first step may be you got to give him all of your heart. There's a trust issue. Maybe you're not trusting God. And that's really the first step is start, okay, God, okay, I think I'm hearing this. I think I'm getting that. I don't want to live in this anxiousness anymore. I want to follow you. and let him take your hand and lead you in to a better way. Only God can do that. Give to God by seeking his kingdom first in everything you do. It equates to changed lives. Because someone sought the kingdom and were a part of a church, someone shared the gospel with me. It was God's vehicle. Because people committed to him and gave him their heart, other people come to know the Lord. It's God's thing. It's what he's doing. We need to trust him and be a part of that. Trusting God with all of it. He's so good to us. The last quote that I'm going to end with is from David Livingstone. It says, I place no value on anything I have or may possess, except in relation to the kingdom of God. If anything will advance the interests of the kingdom, it shall be given away or kept, only as by giving or keeping it, I shall most promote the glory of him to whom I owe all my hopes in time or eternity. It's all God's. I think we need to be, as his children, give him our heart and look through the lens of seeking his kingdom. When you're making decisions about what you're going to do, what your tithe is going to look like, or what your gifts are going to look like, or how you're going to live your life, or what bills you're going to pay, are you looking through that lens, seeking his kingdom first? Will this help someone come to know Jesus, or does it just go off? Seeking his kingdom with what he's given us, the bounty that we've really been placed in. Ultimately, we have more than we will ever need. God is good, and he's promised he will take care of us. I'm just going to close in a prayer, and then we'll sing a couple more songs together. God, I love you. I thank you for you giving it all to us, Lord. I thank you that for God, you gave your one and only Son, so that whoever would believe in you would not perish. I praise you for that, God. You did not hold back from us. Help us, Lord, not to hold back from you. Help us really to follow you with our heart, with our mind, with all that you've given us, Lord. We want to love you with all we have, Lord. We need your help in that, Lord. And I pray you'd help the saints here, hearing this message this morning in this building, and everyone who might listen to it online, Lord. I pray you just really help us. Give us grace. By your mercy, I pray you'd help us. This idea, Lord, of just being good stewards and trusting you in everything. And I just pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen.